morning.
Good morning.
I want to say a few words this morning about the power of Zazen. If you all will recall, the Buddha experienced enlightenment on the 8th day of December during Rohatsu Sesshin, when he looked up at the morning star, the planet that we call Venus. And in that moment, he experienced the brightness of Venus from the depth and stillness of more than a week of Zazen. And that's the same Zazen that we share here every Sunday. The result was a deep and profound enlightenment experience. And if you've read these stories, you know he is said to have cried out, "That is me! That is me! That is me shining so brilliantly!" Now, clearly, he's not talking about the conventional me. Something happened in that moment. And from this experience arose all of his teachings. From within this state of mind, the Buddha said, "How wondrous! All beings are endowed with this pure nature. What a wonderful, a wondrous, and astonishing thing has been realized. All the 10,000 things, all the flowers, all the trees, all the rocks, all things everywhere are shining brilliantly. What an amazing thing. It's the same landscape, but how brilliantly it is illuminated. What freshness is in everything." Quite an experience. So from within this deep illumination of the mind of Buddha, all of his wisdom is born. This wisdom is the heart of our Zen practice. Just as incredible as the Buddha's awakening, which I have described, is the fact that this awakening is possible for each of us. That this is the power of Zazen. Each time we sit on our cushion, each time we take up this posture, we are preparing ourselves to awaken. Each of us is a Buddha, and each of us can awaken. And these are not words to be taken lightly, if you think about it. If you take this in, it's possible for each of us to have that same experience. And when we see Zazen from this perspective, we begin to understand what a sacred activity it is that we do here every Sunday morning, or you do when you get up in the morning. For this reason, we should assume this posture with great care and great attention. So I'd like to spend a few minutes reviewing how to practice Zazen. To begin with, we tend to see body, breath, and mind separately. But in the practice of Zazen, they come together as one reality. As you assume the Zazen posture, the first thing you should pay attention to is how you are holding your body on the cushion. This is very important because how we position our body has a lot to do with what happens to our mind and our breath. The most important thing is that the position is stable and the spine is erect. It's not the same, though, as being rigid or tight. It's almost paradoxical to be stable and to be erect and at the very same time being completely relaxed. And it's particularly important because a relaxed, erect spine allows your diaphragm to move more freely. It's also important to wear loose-fitting clothing and to loosen any belt you may be wearing. You want to allow the diaphragm to move freely so breathing can be deep, easy, and natural. Now, the other thing is, in Zazen, we do not control the breath. We just let breathing happen. And we become observers of that breathing, not worrying about whether it's slow and deep, fast or shallow. Just let it be what it is and observe that process. And once we have assumed this stable position, we make sure that our mouth is closed gently and that we are breathing through our nose, unless, of course, you have some obstruction or a cold. We also gently press our tongue against the upper palate. And the reason for this is it reduces the need to salivate and to swallow. Our eyes are lowered, with our gaze resting on the ground 2 or 3 feet in front of us. The chin should be tucked in slightly, not enough so that it rounds your shoulders. You don't want to lose your erectness. It's just a slight tuck of the chin. And although the Zazen posture looks very disciplined, the muscles, as I said, should be soft. Release any tension in your body. Just let it go. And that may sound easier said than done, but it's almost literally so. You know, as you take up this posture, you can sort of just check out your body. Okay, so I have some stiffness in my upper right shoulder. So I can just breathe into that stiffness, and on the out-breath, let the out-breath carry that stiffness out of my body. And as I do that, I can literally feel my shoulder and my neck soften and relax. The nose should be centered in line with our navel. The upper torso should be straight, leaning neither forward or back. And then we should place our hands in our lap. This is the classic way of doing it. The dominant hand on the bottom, the other hand on top, knuckle to knuckle, forming an oval that's called the cosmic mudra. But there are other ways. You can rest your hands flat on your knees, or you can just hold one hand in the other like this. Again, try and choose one of those positions that doesn't create any stress or strain in the arms or the neck. And we begin our meditation by bringing our attention, of course, to the breath. The words ki in Japanese and chi in Chinese mean power and are derived from the breath. Mind and breath become one reality. If your mind is agitated, the breath will become agitated. When your mind is at rest, the breath is deep and easy and effortless. The reverse is also true. If we allow ourselves to breathe and just relax into the breath, even if our mind starts out agitated, it will follow the relaxed breath and slowly become less agitated and more calm. And as we follow the breath, we bring our attention to a couple of inches below our navel, the place that we call the hara, which is considered the physical and spiritual center of our body. And that's where we rest our mind. That's where we sit with our breathing, deep down in the hara. And depending upon who you've sat with or where you're at with your practice, you know that we begin by counting the breath. Usually when we start out, an in-breath is 1, an out-breath is 2, an in-breath is 3, an out-breath is 4, and so forth. But it's not staccato like that. It's not 1, 2, 3. I'm going to do this out loud, but we would do this silently. So it would be, and the out-breath. And then when the breath comes back in. So that the number is not just 1, 2, 3, 4. It rides the entire breath. It helps stay connected to the breath. And then in our practice, as a person gets more experience with counting the in and the out-breath, then we count one whole breath. So it would be the in-breath and the out-breath. And then after a period of time, we get used to that. Eventually, we drop all counting, and we just simply sit with the breath going in and out of our body. And that simply sitting with the breath is sometimes referred to as shikantaza. Now, the other chute that you can go down is, especially if you're sitting with a teacher, you may sit with a koan. And that's a very particular practice, which I won't get into now. It'll take too much of an explanation. But still, you're sitting with your koan in your belly, not in your head. Now, the thing about Zazen, a lot of people come to spiritual practices for peace of mind, to reduce anxiety, to feel more comfortable in their body. Now, it's true that meditation does help with these things. It's absolutely true. The more the mind quiets, the more at home we feel in our bodies. But the actual process of sitting is not a relaxation exercise. In a certain way, there should be an edge to the sitting. You should literally be sitting on the edge of your cushion, really paying attention. Almost in the same way that if you were sitting on the edge of a cliff, you would really have to pay attention to your sitting, pay attention to your breath. You don't want to get lost in thinking and fall over the cliff, lose your balance. So at the same time that we are relaxed and we are present, there's a kind of an edge to the sitting. So it's really alive, almost electric. Okay, it's not just a relaxation exercise. I just want to read a few lines. The cup fell to the ground. The sound was perfectly clear. Emptiness was smashed to pieces. The mad mind abruptly came to a halt. If you notice, you don't have to put the incense into the flame to light it. You just hold it above the fire. All of a sudden, boom, there it is. It lights up, having made no contact. Well, that's sort of the same thing we do when we sit zazen. You know, this is our sitting. And then all of a sudden, one moment, all of a sudden, boom, it comes to life. It lights up. And we realize ourselves. The flame is the fire of zazen.